Welcome to WP Constellations, a podcast exploration of the WordPress universe, brought to you by Stellar WP. Welcome to WP Constellations. As you heard, this is a Stellar WP exploration of the WordPress universe. We call our internal the Stellarverse, but we realize that the Stellarverse is one tiny part of the WordPress universe. But today we are actually talking to somebody, two people actually, in here from Modern Tribe, which is part of the Stellarverse and part of Liquid Web, also acquired around the same time, I think. Actually, you were acquired just before GiveWP, so you've been around here a little bit longer than I have, but it's been several years now, so we are fully ensconced in the Liquid Web universe, which is pretty cool. So I want to introduce first, my co-host for today is John Clark. John does work with me. We're on the actually on the same team at Stellar WP. John, welcome again. Just let people know, remind them who you are and what you do here.
Hi, my name is John Clark. I am the automation manager for Stellar WP, and I work with our brands in order to basically make sure that our email systems and our communication systems to the outside world work properly. And that is an ongoing thing and an ongoing process as the laws and the nature of email and email communication continue to change. But we are always trying to stay on top of it, basically.
I call him the active campaign guru because he knows that system like the back of his hand, which is pretty awesome. But today we're talking to two people from Modern Tribe, Mike Klanick and Ashley Flynn Corbin. Welcome both to the show. Really great to have you here. Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with WordPress?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Michelle. My name is Mike Klanick. I am the Senior Director of Business Development at Modern Tribe. And essentially what that role means is that I am leading our sales efforts. We focus on enterprise WordPress. So typically I'm helping to design a solution, working closely with our prospects and client partners to help accomplish their goals. So I'll work with a team of estimators, designing the initial sort of scope of work and estimate, and then I'll transition that over to our team. And then working really closely with Ashley on a variety of different leadership initiatives over at Modern Tribe. Awesome. And I'm joining you from Galveston, Texas today.
Ah, okay. A little warmer there than it is in Rochester, New York, I'm thinking. In March, anyway. Ashley, tell us about yourself.
Well, good point. I'm in Miami, Florida. I am the senior agency director, again, working very closely with Mike on the leadership team. I have a background in project management, so my focus in this role is really around production, delivery, and a little bit on the operations side. So it's been a really nice split for Mike and I across the agency. And, you know, this year we're really focused on growth. I know we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. So a big part of my role is going to be scaling the two teams that we currently have to try to build us back up to this larger agency.
So on the outside looking in, could you tell me what Modern Tribe is as a whole?
For sure. I could take that one. And it's kind of funny you ask, because late last year, we embarked on a bit of a journey and reexamination about our goals for 2024, but more broadly in the face of a changing landscape of technology, you know, AI and continuing evolving business models for agencies, we took the opportunity to kind of reevaluate what we had been doing and where we wanted to go for the years ahead. What we found with that exercise is that we wanted to stay pretty committed to who we had historically been over the last 15 years. And what that's been is a full service digital design and development agency that specializes in enterprise WordPress solutions. So the emphasis being sort of on the enterprise portion of that. What that really means is where Modern Tribe picks things up is often when you have a larger web project that has requirements beyond just that level of brochureware. So we kind of start to become a viable solution when it becomes a brochureware plus type situation. And that can range from, you know, more complex architectures to high-end accessibility requirements. If you have dynamic integrations with plugins or even just APIs or need an API, multi-site situations, multi-languages. We work a lot with larger brands and franchises. And moreover, we sort of specialize in being great long-term partners to those folks, because typically we're doing something somewhat custom in those situations. So you need to build a trusted relationship where someone could stick around and be a partner to you for years to come. So that's who we are, how we typically present to the market. As an organization, I don't want to say we're a lifestyle company, because I think that that's a little bit cliche. And then the changing world post-COVID, a lot of organizations have gone fully remote. But I will say we're an organization that puts a lot of emphasis on people. We like to live well and do good work has been a slogan of ours for many years. We're interested in doing the right thing, both with our clients and as a company. To us, with clients, that often means being pragmatic. As a senior team, we're empowered often to push back or be prescriptive with our feedback and guide them to the right solution. At the end of the day, they're still clients, and we listen and we take feedback. But we are empowered to drive the correct solution, to drive value. These are big investments. These are long-term investments, and we want the best for them. And then organizationally, we really lean into our people and support them. That's a little bit about who we are and kind of how we present to the market.
Yeah, I'll add to.
Sorry.
Thank you. I'll add to Mike talked about the people really differentiating us in the market, and I completely agree. Our values have always been happy, helpful, curious, and accountable, and we really try to embody that in both our recruiting for our staff and the way that we treat each other and our clients. And I think something that, like, I've heard many times over my 7 years here is that, like, people love working with us. And it can be another teammate, it can be another vendor, it can be another client. You know, it's not just our client services phase. People really enjoy working with us because we do, just ingrained in us, go that extra mile that you don't always get in some of these, like, bigger companies that people don't feel as connected to. Our team feels very connected, and we genuinely want to help each other and our clients find the right solution.
So both of you have pretty much answered one of the things I was about to ask next. And so I kind of want to pivot a little bit to, do you think that that team aspect and that closeness aspect really helps you be different from other WordPress agencies?
I absolutely think so. Yeah, I mean, transparency is a big thing with us too. And again, I think it's all connected. Like, when you feel supported by your company, when you feel supported because you're working with experts, you know, everybody is very smart and talented. And if we don't know the answer to something, we'll tell you. We don't know the answer, we're going to go get it. Like, we don't have this, you know, kind of salesy facade that you can sometimes see in other places. I've definitely worked at places that have felt that way. But just having that ingrained in the way that we work and the transparency that we have with each other, you see it come out with clients where they're not worried about, you know, what's going on. We haven't heard from them for a few days. You know, we hope they understood what we gave them, and, you know, we hope that they're doing the right thing with our money. We're there all the time on Slack with them, with our clients. And I think that they feel that, and we become much more of a partner then, not just a vendor. Yeah. We don't just package up. Yeah. And send back.
That's a great point. Our teams, that we do have a team structure where the same folks work together on the same projects. They get to know each other really well. That, I think, creates more trust. They can be pretty candid right out of the gate. And then by extension, when we start to work with a client, you know, we often describe ourselves as an extension of their team, and where we can be the most successful is when we can feel like we're them and understand their problems and just proactively solve problems instead of just building, like, quote unquote, engineering work or development work. Like, we want to sit there and understand the things that they're struggling with, their aspirations, their goals, and then proactively bring that to the table. And that team structure does lend itself, I think, pretty well to being effective at that.
One of the things I love is when my worlds overlap. And one of the things that as I was doing my research and looking at the site this morning, you actually built the human resources site for one of my alma maters, University of Rochester, where I did my MBA work. And I was like delighted. That was like the top one on that page, right, of examples. And so I love when that kind of thing happens. But it makes you wonder sometimes, and a lot of our listeners, a lot of our product users in for Seller WP as well, are building agencies. They're small agencies or entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, that kind of thing. How does an agency the size of, and I don't mean size of numbers of people in, but the size of the projects that you're doing specifically, how do you find clients? And more importantly, how do clients find you?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. So I think the correct way to answer that is to stress that most of our business is actually repeat business with already existing customers. So most of what we're doing is inside sales. And so that is to say, it is very important to be successful with the project, right? Like if we have a great project, they launch, they start converting more, or more applicants are coming in, or they're selling more, and we hit one of those measures, then they're going to want us to stick around and do the next part of that project. And that is a really stabilizing effect on our business because it's not a full sales cycle. We already have a master services agreement with them. We have a trusted relationship. And we can continue to work together. So that's the first component of it. But more broadly, most of the new work that we earn is done through some sort of a relationship or referral. The first example of that would be a client referral. So if we have a really great case study, for example, we did a great project with Harvard University. We redesigned their flagship site. That site went on to win a Webby Award. Well, Harvard was happy with us. They were able to refer some projects. We kind of had a mutual case study where an item that we could talk about with them, and that has led to quite a few more projects. And that's like really important. If your clients are happy with you, they will talk about you and share your name with other businesses. The other part of that is a referral through our partners. So we work with a variety of partners ranging from hosts to technical partners. And those relationships all need to be nurtured. They all need check-ins and sort of they all have different dynamics to them. Some partners are motivated quite a bit by mutual references of new opportunities. Here we you'd be a great fit for this project. You should check out this RFP and vice versa. Others are a more referral-based, like kind of a commission-based model. But where we can, we try to refer the correct partners to our clients, and we never do that based on anything other than they're the right fit. But if you do that consistently, that makes up another kind of spoke of that wheel of different referrals coming in. So we've got kind of repeat business, we got client referrals, partner referrals. And then we do a variety of marketing as well. So that's everything from sort of content marketing and social and some event attendance. We also advertise a little bit. We've seen a little bit of a switch. I think pre-COVID, we were much more visible at the in-person events. Post, we've transitioned to a little bit more virtual and a little more ad-based with some of the key directory sites. That's been one thing that's been interesting. And then finally, I'll just add, and I'll take a break because I know I'm rambling here about all the different ways we get business. But we monitor pretty actively for just public RFPs. And when we aren't full from warm inbound opportunities to work as a team, then we will go out and look for, the public RFPs for higher ed sites or ones that are listed on a variety of the RFP kind of scraping and collection aggregators.
Back in the year 2000, so I think it's when like click and mortar was the first, like that terminology first came to be. And I was doing my MBA, and I was part of the first e-commerce major or concentration that was there. I actually worked on the one of the pages of the website of the University of Rochester. So now I'm just going to say that you and I have worked on the same website, and that makes me very happy.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Wow.
Small world.
Small world, indeed. John.
So I have had the pleasure of working with a couple of people from Modern Tribe. So I have always found them and just you to be really good partners in general. So going back to how you were talking about how good people and everything like that creates a better relationship. But I use a lot of tools for my job. I know Modern Tribe uses a lot of tools for theirs, and most agencies and organizations use they have to use something in order to kind of get their business going. What is it that makes you lean into WordPress specifically, and what other tools aside from WordPress do you use to get the job done?
Yeah. Actually, maybe I'll start and I'll pass it over to you. Is that okay?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay. We've always just been historically connected to WordPress. We believe in it. We believe in open source. And we have tried other systems. Like, for example, a lot of us have histories with Drupal. We've tried various headless solutions, other proprietary things like AEM. But we always come back to WordPress just being the solution. That's just the most broadly supported and understood by the widest amount of folks. At the end of the day, more often than not, what we're doing is just activating publishers and activating content providers to make it more about the content that they're creating and less about the whole publishing experience and the complexity and the accessibility requirement around it. We want them to be thinking primarily about the message of their content and then letting all of that stuff just kind of happen as a part of the system that we've created for them. So WordPress tends to be the primary tool set for that. And in terms of the building blocks that we use within there, we have a long history in this space, having sort of started with the events calendar and authoring some plugins ourselves. We kind of knew what went into that and what people were asking for. They were looking for professional, stable plugins that they could rely on that weren't going to break and weren't going to cause conflicts across their system. So over the years, we've curated a list. A lot of the names you will see on the Stellar WP homepage, for example, are great choices and stable premium type plugins that you can rely on to help build up that box of sort of Legos to control those areas. And generally speaking, we're never about recreating the wheel. So if there's a pragmatic plugin solution, that's almost always going to be the way to go for us. We know that in theory, our developers could architect a new LMS or something. But we would never do that. We would never be as good as one of the existing systems that have already been created. So, yeah, I mean, we're looking to leverage existing tools wherever possible, and designing a full solution based on all the stuff that already exists out there.
Yeah, and last year, as far as like our own specific tools that we use to build, last year we went all in on Block Editor, which it doesn't mean that we don't maintain some other types of platforms and editors, but it was important for us to stay on the forefront of what WordPress was doing and to give our clients a solution that would, make sure they were able to take advantage of WordPress updates and kind of stay, use educational tools on content entry and things like that. We wanted to stay up to date with WordPress, and it's been going really well. So every decision that we make when we're trying to create a custom block or pattern or integration is, what's the WordPress way of doing that? And that's been a really new facet for us because we're used to doing a lot of custom solutions. But it's given us a guidepost that we are all in on WordPress and we want to be at the forefront of that. So as far as tools, again, we're all in on the block editor. We have our own system that we've kind of cutely named Moose, but that's just our way of giving each other starting tools to start each project from, as far as leaning into best practices for WordPress. But also, being a part of WordPress, WP Stellar, being a part of Liquid Web, A lot of those stellar names are names that we're familiar with. So before we were Liquid Web, I'm not sure how many people know this, but Modern Tribe built and created the events calendar. And I know TEC was acquired by Liquid Web, I think a year before Modern Tribe was, but there's so much history there. Dave Ellenwood, who's our director of engineering, helped build the events calendar way back when. And although I was not personally a part of that project, we were always kind of this dual company with a product side and an agency side. So we're very familiar with the events calendar, and anytime there's a calendar solution needed, that's our first go-to. Also last year we started playing around with Cadence as solutions for when some of our clients with specific needs, and those needs would be like they need a fast solution. And we know that they're going to need something that's going to be able to be edited quickly and adjust creative and patterns without, a robust development team. We've used Cadence in a few solutions, and it's gone really well. And I can definitely see a future where there's some projects where that is our go-to solution rather than doing like a custom block editor implementation. And then Restrict Content Pro comes up all the time with our clients, a lot of education clients in our roster. But really for anyone that has multiple audiences, Restrict Content Pro is a big one for us. So we're definitely well familiar with WP Stellar plugins and always looking for opportunities to use more.
When you say you lean into the like working more with the blocks, and that really has been since 2018, and like learn Gutenberg and all of that, it definitely still is the future of WordPress. Do you think that your decisions are not only about because it's WordPress, but the sustainability and the ability for others to be able to support within their own projects once you have kind of handed the project over to the client? Is that part of the decision-making process?
Yes, absolutely. We waited a few years. We talked about like, is it ready for enterprise for many years? And then the pandemic was in there. So I don't know exactly at what point we decided, okay, we're ready to go. But sometime in the last 1 to 2 years, we started seriously contemplating that. And also, we had our own proprietary platforms and systems and tools called Square One and Panels. And we did start to notice, our goal is always to set up our clients if they so choose, if they have the ability and if they want to be able to take over the platform themselves, both from a content and development standpoint. And we did have some clients that, would hire a front-end WordPress developer or a back-end developer and struggled to onboard because our system was complex and it was hard not to enter content. It was hard to make some code adjustments. So this should and has kind of taken away that learning curve for a lot of our clients who are, you can be a WordPress expert but not necessarily know how to spin up our Square One platform really nicely. This kind of lowers the playing field. And so far, we've seen clients take over, I think, with more success.
Mike, in the sales part of things, is it easier to sell the client on WordPress when you're able to say in the last few years that, like, well, NASA and the White House are built on WordPress also?
Absolutely. Yeah. There was a period of time there where we would, especially as it relates to enterprise builds, like more complex architectures, get a little bit of pushback and say, are you sure that WordPress can handle this? Are you sure that WordPress can do this portion of the security requirement? We're a little worried that our site might ha get hacked, or like I would get some pushback, especially as it related to larger builds. Over the last, I think, 4 years, a lot of that has gone to the wayside. More often than not, I think people view WordPress as being more than capable of handling any enterprise solution. And a lot of that is, I think, born out of like that work, that those quality case studies with some of those big names and brands, and sort of the proof is there, that WordPress is more than capable of powering those solutions, and oftentimes doing a fantastic job at it by really activating publishers to be able to create amazing content.
And also working with some of the clients that you do, where accessibility becomes a legality, with universities and people and organizations accepting government money, like Title 16 or 4, and all of these, financial aid situations, accessibility comes into play as well. And WordPress has proven itself over the last few years, especially with some plugins and things that have been developed for accessibility specifically to actually meet those needs. And I'm sure that that has been something that's been a lot easier to implement for some of your clients as well.
Absolutely. It's incredibly important to us, and the way we talk about accessibility is, of course, there are those legal requirements and WCAG accessibility levels that we strive to hit for all of our clients. But we actually have kind of fundamentally shifted how we think about accessibility and have made it a part of our culture and just sort of embraced accessibility as good UX. Like it's a part of the experience, and we're in a world where we're trying to serve all of our audience. Our success is often in the very edges of the numbers and our ability to convert just a little bit better or provide a slightly better experience. And that just means serving all of the audience where they are. So accessibility begins during the sales cycle for us. It's built into our estimates, it's built into our design process. It's a part of our culture when we hire people, and that carries through all the way to engineering and publishing, every step of the way.
I love that. So as we look at the rest of, we're still at the early stages of 2024, although we're almost done with the first quarter, which is a little mind-blowing.
Wild.
But what does the roadmap look like for Modern Tribe for this year and next year? What are some things that we can look forward to seeing from y'all as far as growth goes?
Yeah, we've got an exciting year ahead of us, or in that we're in right now. We talked a little bit about growth before. So pre-pandemic, we were when I talk about teams, we were five teams, roughly, I think over a little over 100 humans. We're now down to two teams, and that was by design, as we know when we were acquired by Liquid Web. Some of our teams became internal facing agency teams, but our external agency teams, our customer teams, we're down to two. And it's kind of a weird size for us because, we've got this fantastic sales team and we have all these referrals coming in, and we want to be able to service, everyone that we can, and be able to take on the projects that we want to take on. So we're at this awkward size, and we decided as a leadership team, we want to grow this year. And not right away, but it's a 3-year plan to get us to five teams. So from two to five teams. So that's going to be a large part of our operational plan for the year. In addition to that, we are rolling out a branding offering. So branding is something that our team of super amazing designers, talented designers, already bring to the table, and we just weren't utilizing them in that way. They have the branding experience. We do branding as part of our website design without even really calling it that. In some cases, we'll have a client and we're just like, this logo just needs a little something, and we'll end up putting in some extra time and really, because we're proud of the work and proud of the design, and we want to make sure that they are putting their best foot forward. And we just realized, you know what, we should package this, and we should put a formal offering out where we do some logo, we do some brand work, and we have some deliverables that we send the client back with, style guides and implementation guides and things like that. So we're working right now on the marketing part of that, but already we've had two of our existing clients inquire about our branding services. So we've already got some case studies in the works. And then, of course, the branding that we've kind of done for internal purposes here are really, another great example of our branding offering. Another offering that we are starting up this year is SEO monitoring and insights. And this really just came from our existing clients. Again, like, there's a gap and they're noticing the gap and they're asking us, can you fill this? And it's something that we already do for ourselves. And, a lot of our team members, again, come with this experience from other places that they've worked or other engagements that they have. So SEO monitoring packages, as far as checking in on keywords, making recommendations, and then, of course, on the code piece of it, making strategic recommendations on how we can make changes or new features to the existing website, is going to be a big part of that. So look out for that this year. And then just focusing again on that growth, we want to make sure that what we're doing is scalable. So there's going to be a lot of work this year, tweaking and perfecting our processes to map more closely to creating for the block editor now. I know a lot of our documentation and a lot of our onboarding is still kind of based on that Square One or old school platform. And so we're actively in the works of one by one, kind of updating all of those processes and just making sure that the teams that we do have are operating at a like a very high level of efficiency, so that we can take that and scale it.
I love that. I have a blog post idea for you that came out of that is when a client says, make the logo bigger, counter with, let's make the logo better.
Oh, I love that.
We'll talk later.
That's not just a blog post, that's a
There you
tagline.
go, right? John?
I have a quick question here, just a quick, slight follow-up, because you've mentioned a lot of the fact of you have a lot going on with the engineering aspect, a lot going on with content SEO. Has there been any trend or anything that you've found from clients in this first part of 2024 that's been something that has been either talked about a lot or something that's been requested a lot?
Oh geez, trends are tough. I will say, like, with SEO in particular, I mean, a lot of folks think SEO, and they still they'll initially come to you and say, like, do you have this sort of magic wand to make all of our pages perform better by kind of hacking the keywords and the headlines and things like that? And they oftentimes think there's this, like, really quick fix solution to making their pages perform better. And certainly thought goes into headlines and things like that. But more often than not, like, the core of our SEO offering is actually during the project, and that is just creating performant pages with the correct syntax, with a really great navigational structure that's easy to kind of both search and discover on, you know, kind of doing all of the core things correctly, and then activating their ability to create high quality content that engages users and allows them to have a great experience. And so I think more and more, I think people are coming around to that as, like, what good SEO is oftentimes is just doing the important stuff really well. And then just that remaining 10% to the finish line is this new offering that we're trying to ramp up, which is the ongoing nature of it after that fact, where that's where we start to get into the keyword monitoring component, the long tail keywords, the what are your peers doing, sort of some of that, and then layering those insights with a strategist to say, hey, like, we think we could capture a little bit more audience if we leaned into this topic. And how do we eloquently bring that into what we already have set up from an architecture standpoint? So I don't know if it's necessarily a trend, but we're kind of seeing that evolution in some of our clients and trying to break them away from the short-term thinking of how do we hack the page real quick to, like, get a couple extra eyeballs, when reality is let's just create really fantastic experiences and do everything right. And then just that remaining 10% is where we can kind of get creative and leverage tool sets and insights.
I'll go on a limb and say, I think our last, I would say 10 to 15 proposals or RFPs that have come in, I feel like people are really starting to want to push the limits on design more so than maybe a few years ago when it was really, focus on accessibility and, readability and ease of use. Our last few clients have really wanted us to what how can you push the limits of our design or let's get really creative here with design, which is really exciting because that means that the accessibility has caught up, right? So you can do a little bit more customization without worrying about about alienating some of your audience, but also that people are more comfortable in the tool and more comfortable with their content. After some of the changes in Gutenberg, so I think that's exciting. I know our design team has had some really unique challenges in the last few months, and we've got quite a few coming up that were the really excited new prospects that we hope to land. So I hope that continues.
Yeah.
It's been great.
I could throw one more hot take out there, but I won't lean into it too hard. There are some people who are not happy with the headless solution that they've created, or they felt like they went headless at a time period where it was perhaps a buzzword, and now are backing off and thinking maybe that they got themselves into a situation that's not perhaps ideal. That's not everybody. Some people are super happy with their headless build, their super fast loading pages and really robust front end experiences. But there are some who think just the sort of standard experience would have been nice from a resourcing and management standpoint as well.
Well, you have both gone into so much, and we very much appreciate it. Do you have anything else that you would like to share?
I think just we're really confident in this new phase of Modern Tribe. I think you're going to see a lot more from us, in the next couple of years. Definitely, the rest of this year, being backed by Liquidweb and having access to Stellar WP plugins and just this community has been a huge win for us. We're looking forward to having a bigger presence in that in both Liquidweb and the community, and going after some really big projects this year. So it'll hopefully be a great year for us.
You nailed it,
So
Ashley.
how do we find out more about Modern Tribe? If somebody's listening and they're like, how do I find out more? And how do we find out more about you individually if people are looking to connect with you, maybe through social media?
Yeah, I think personally we're both available on LinkedIn, but probably more importantly from a engaging with Modern Tribe standpoint. I still point people to our website. I mean, it's tri.be. It's a little bit of a unique URL. If you're looking for us, you tend to have to search Modern Tribe Agency these days. But that's going to be a great way to kind of hit our contact form, but more so learn about our previous work, our case studies, the work that we've done in the past, and the kind of the work that we're capable of doing. We're also active on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, posting content as we have it. But the website's a great starting point. You can also reach us via email at hello@tri.be.
Thank you. We'll have all of those links in the show notes, along with a complete transcript of today's episode. Thank you so much, Mike and Ashley, for joining us today. Thank you, John, for co-hosting with me. It's been a delight to, I mean, I work here, but always these conversations help me learn more deeply the different or sub-organizations that are within this thing we call Liquid Web. So thank you so much for sharing and enlightening me, as well as the rest of our audience. Thanks everybody for being here.
Thank you both. That was a lot of
Yeah, thank
fun.
you.
Awesome. All right, we'll see everybody else on the next episode of WP Constellations. WP Constellations is a production of Stellar WP, home of the events calendar, Learn Dash, Give WP, Cadence, Iconic, Solid WP, Orderable, and Restrict Content Pro. Learn more about the Stellarverse at stellarwp.com.